Before I became a Christian, I was involved in an organization. It was a volunteer organization that it was very popular at the time. And I got pretty involved in this thing. And one of the things that they emphasized was being able to serve in the organization. After all, it was voluntary. And I got pretty involved, not super involved, but involved enough so that it began taxing on my time and my relationships. And one of the things that happened was it got to a place where I really became negative about this organization. It wasn't a church or anything like that, but it was just taxing on my time, and I became resentful, and I thought, you know, I can't do this. And so I backed all the way out of serving in these in a voluntary organization at that time. I didn't know Jesus at the time, and I moved out of this voluntary position in order to be very content in my little my world, my little sphere, my little world. And it was okay. I lost connection with a lot of the things outside, but it felt good for a while. And then I came to Christ. And when I came to Christ, I came to Christ through a campus ministry. And so one of the things that I was really eager to do was to share the gospel with people, because the Lord just really changed my life. And so I got involved that way in sharing the gospel. It didn't have a lot of serving to do. In fact, some of the serving that I initially did, I ended up backing out of. Even in leading worship, people asked me when they found out I could play guitar and sing, I knew the songs, I loved the songs, and they asked me if I would do that. I said, oh, okay, I'll try, and I helped out a little while, and I got so self-conscious that I backed out completely. I said, I can't do this anymore. You might not recognize that person if I were to have that person compared here and this person here that you see here today. And so what I'm saying is that we all have a journey. We're all on this journey of where are we in our relationship with Christ, and where are we in our relationship with our master? We have a master. And there are times when we go through really great times when we enjoy serving, and there are times when we hit these roadblocks and everything just seems to fall apart. And I think the Lord wants to make sure that we have the right perspective as we go, as we serve in the church, because for the most part, the church is a voluntary organization. You're going to have a staff or two, or if it's a large church, many, many staff. But for the most part, the majority of work, the real work, is being done by people who are volunteers, people who offer their lives as sacrifices to the Lord. And I'd like us to read in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30 today. And I didn't ask Steve if he had that ready, but if you have that ready, Steve, we can read it. But if not, I'll just read it out of my Bible. How should we do this? I forgot to connect with you on that. Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. Many of you are familiar with this as what we call the parable of the talents. A talent, just a little bit of background here, is a talent is a unit of a measure of money, and it's about $1,000 or so. And so the master came and gave, he was going away on a long trip. And this is a parable. So we have to make a number of connections to what is Jesus saying in the bigger spiritual picture. Not simply this happened here and then just leave it back in history. But rather there are spiritual principles that Jesus is communicating to us. And so what do we do with that? So why don't we read this and let this scripture provide the basis of our understanding of a few things, just a few things about the heart of God when it comes to serving. So thank you, Steve, for bringing that up. And why don't we go ahead and read that together? Okay, ready, go. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another, 2 talents, and to another, 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also, the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Okay, this is not Steve's. This is not Steve's fault. This is my fault here. Okay, shall I just read? Okay. Oh, hold on, he says. He's almost got it. Okay, there we go. Okay, ready? After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Here we have a parable that Jesus is speaking to communicate a kingdom principle. And here's the basic kingdom principle that he spoke about right here. The principle is, if you have something and you put it to work, you will get more. If you have something and you hide it away, that's going to be taken from you. So before we get into that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, thank you so much for telling us how your kingdom works. Lord, we thank you for our faithful servant Jesus, who he himself is an example and model. We know that he is the third person of the Trinity, but beyond that, not sitting in high heaven, but lowering himself to the place of a servant and showing us how to live. Lord, I pray that we would take heed to the words of Jesus and that we would be people who would want to be servants of yours, good servants. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we have a number of things that I'd like to point out before we get started in this passage of Scripture. First of all, there are cultural differences that we really are going to have a hard time understanding. Back in that day, it was very common to either be a master or to have a servant. There were a few people, of course, who were independent businessmen and just kind of had their own field. But there are a lot of people who were in either a master position or a servant position. We don't really understand what that's like today. There were probably, not very long ago, in our own history, in the U.S. history, and the history of the rest of the world, where slavery was very common. That's not common to us today, And so we really don't understand much about it. And so when Jesus is speaking here some very strong words, he says, take that worthless servant outside and cast him out into outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is something that would be consistent with the idea of a master and servant. The master could do what he wanted with the servant. Now, if we were the servant, we wouldn't even bother to dig the hole to hide the talent in, would we? If we didn't like the master, what would we do? What would we do? You ever heard the words, I quit? Okay, we have the freedom just to do that, right? The servant here would not have that freedom. However, he could be discharged, but we would just quit. And so we're not really bound by a lot of these things. And so one of the things that's important for us is that as Jesus is telling this parable, there is a social construct over here that forces people to conform their behavior according to punishment. That's the normal thing in days gone by. But as we're looking at this, if we were to expect that to happen in our day, it would fail. The reason is, you and I wouldn't even care about being conformed to punishment. We would just quit. And so, how do we look at this parable today? I think we need to look at it in terms of character. Because nobody's going to, because we would just quit, we have to ask the question, what is it that's going to keep us in the game rather than having a threat being posed to us? And that is the issue of character, the character within the servant that keeps a person going. Now, how many of you have worked for an employer and have had good experiences during that time? At least some. Raise your hand. How many of you have worked for an employer and had at least some bad experiences? Okay, so we all have those experiences, good experiences and bad experiences. And so the thing I'd like us to look reach for deep here is the issue of character. What do we do with this in our own lives when nobody's going to be kicking us out into outer darkness? What is the real message that Jesus wants to give us here today in the year 2017? So that we don't have to just dismiss this parable as something that doesn't apply to us. That would be the area of character. So how can we excel in serving the Lord? The main emphasis of the sermon today will be on how to excel in serving the Lord. But before we do that, we have to start somewhere. So let's start with this third servant, the one who buried the talent. And let's start with that. And I'm going to say in your bulletin notes there, number one, we excel in serving the Lord by doing something. Do something. Okay, now if you're really one of those people who are go around and giving seminars and things like that, that probably would not show up on your bullet points. Do something. But I bring that up because it does show up in this parable. There was a servant who did not want to even do anything. And there's a certain extremeness to this parable that shows that the servant himself wasn't even being fair toward the master. It was probably being an unfair accusation. And so because of that, the servant said, I'm not even going to participate. And so I'm going to say here, we exceed in serving, first of all, by doing something. In other words, we have to start somewhere. Now, this is a really tragic experience because description in this passage of Scripture, because the servant refuses to serve even in a small way. Even in a small way. He could have put his money on deposit, right? The master said. And you don't really have to do much. You can entrust your resources to somebody else who can then help serve. And then you're now, when you do that, you're actually partnering with that person to serve, right? So let's say you don't have a lot of strength or something, but you have something to offer, maybe a small amount to give or a prayer to offer. You can do that, and you can serve faithfully God that way. But this servant didn't even do that. He buried it in the ground. And it was a kind of a pushback, if you will, maybe a resentment. And this brings up the truth about the Christian life, that the Christian faith is not a spectator sport, that God calls everyone to participate. No matter how small the amount you have to offer, God calls everyone to participate. So, but the emphasis here is not on how to operate at a minimum level, but how to excel in that. But before we leave that point, I want to just offer something right now. And just kind of in case you're wondering, how do I offer what I have? Okay, so Robert, can I just ask you to stand up? You're my prop. Yeah, you don't have to. Never mind, you didn't wear shorts. I mean, you wore shorts. Okay, so I'll go to Robert, and I wanna figure out how to serve Robert. Okay, so watch. I'm going to role play how to do this. Hey, Robert.
Hello.
I see you're doing some serving here. How can I help? Okay, did you?
You can do it with me.
All right, good answer, yeah? Good answer. Okay, so thank you. Let's give. So how do you start? If the point here is to do something, you start by saying, how can I help? And if you want to help that person serve, Robert's answer was a great thing. Do it with me. Come, help me. And so that's really the wedge in the door, if you will, towards serving. It's as simple as that. There's nothing real complicated. But start somewhere. That's number one. Number two, we excel in serving by serving according to ability. Serving according to ability. Matthew 25, 15, Jesus said, unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, another 1, each according to his own ability. Say that with me. Ability. Ability. Okay, so what that means is simply that God's expectation of you is in keeping with what you have. You do not have to compare yourself against the next person. You should just look at what you have and what God has given you, and that's your ability. And here's the thing. God's well done to the servant, to the first person who had 5 talents. How different was that to the person who had 2 talents? Was it different or the same?
Different.
It was the same. But I credit you for your being bold and participating. Give them an A for participation. So let me go one more step. What if the servant who had 1 talent, he didn't have much to offer, right? But he offered it. He offered something. And he put it to work. Maybe he put it on deposit with the bank, or maybe he just did whatever was according to his ability. What if he did that? What do you think the master would have said to him? Well done, good and faithful servant. Why? Because you're only accountable to the ability that you have. God's assignment for you is in keeping with your ability. And that's all you need. Now, can we grow in our ability? Yes, that's the right answer. Good, right answer. So we serve at least at the best of our ability. So, for example, some of you think that when the worship band comes up here, they just come up here and they're so talented, they just kind of do their thing. Not so. Not so. They have to rehearse the song, the chord, moving of the notes and things. You have to rehearse. You have to practice it. You have to practice it with the team. You have to practice it on your own. And if you play guitar, there's a word they call woodshedding. Woodshed. That means you just take your guitar and you just practice all by yourself. And you just work out the fingering and things like that all by yourself. And so that you can then increase your ability. Now, the Bible also talks about gifts and talents and various things you can offer. There's a lot. We've done sermons and trainings on spiritual gifts. In fact, we're planning on having something maybe this summer that we can help people get determine what their gifts are and know how to plug into ministries in the church. So maybe you'll be watching for that. So here's, track with me on this thing. So I have this leak. My neighbor comes up to me and says, "Hey, Stan, did you notice that your water's leaking? I think it's coming from your water meter over there." I said, "Oh, no, I didn't notice that. Oh, okay, I better call Board of Water Supply." So I get on the phone, call Board of Water Supply. The guy answers,
"Hello?
Oh, I'm Stan Miyamoto. Would like to report a leak."
"Okay.
What's your address?" I give him my address. And he says, "Okay, we try to get to it." Click. I thought, okay, we'll see what happens. 10 days later, nothing happens. And so it's still leaking. And so I call again, right? And I get this lady on the phone. "Hello, Board of Water Supply. How can I help you?" I said, I'm Stan Miyamoto. I'd like to report a leak." She said, "Okay, what's your address?" Da-da, da-da, da-da. And she says, "Okay, we'll try to get somebody out there today." "Okay, well, thanks." And so we hang up. And I had a meeting that night, so I went off and had a meeting and came home. The place was covered with dirt and all in the street, you know how the street is. Anyway, the guy had come. They had come and put in a whole new meter and had fixed up the whole thing. What an illustration of gifts, huh? What an illustration of talents. So you can get better in certain things. Now, I don't want to criticize the guy who was there, wasn't gifted to answering the phone. Sounded like he didn't want to be there, quite frankly. But at least he was there. Nothing got done, but at least he was there. And yet we see that the difference between somebody who is gifted and has an ability, maybe a 5-talent ability, and the guy had a 1-talent ability, but he didn't bury his talent, did he? At least he showed up at the phone and answered the phone. But of course, this other lady had a 5-talent ability, and she was just took care of the matter right away. So we can offer we can make our talents go from 1 talent to 2 talents, maybe to 3 talents. If you're gifted in that area, you might be able to go to 5 talents. Praise the Lord. But even if you had 1 talent, if you're offering it to the Lord, praise the Lord for that. That's good. So that number 2 is we serve according to our ability. Number 3, we serve in excellence. We excel in serving by serving faithfully. Serving faithfully. Matthew 25:21 says, "His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.'" Now, this word faithful is an interesting word. At the root of this word faithful is the word believe. I'm thinking, now does a servant believe the master? Is that what's happening here? No, it turns out that the master can believe in the servant. Master says, "If you're faithful, I believe in you." Master says, "You're reliable, I believe in you." Can you imagine that? Now, let's translate that to the kingdom. When God gives you an assignment that's big or small, and he says, "Go and do such and such." And when you carry that out, God says, "I believe in you." Whoa! We always attribute our belief to believing in God. But did you know that God can have belief in you? God can call you faithful. And because you are faithful and you are reliable, God can have faith in you. He can call you faithful. Doesn't that blow your mind? That God considers you someone he can believe in. He can trust you with the work that he has for you. It's important to pause at this moment and to say, "Okay, Lord, what are some of the things that maybe hinder me from being faithful?" If you're like me, I had some resentment, some pushback, inner pushback. So I was not able to be faithful because I had some inner resentment about this. And so I didn't want to be participate. And so I had to, you have to look at these things. Are there things inside of us? Maybe there's a personality issue. Maybe there's bitterness going on. And you need to be honest about things, not be in denial. Because when we can root out these things, you dig it down. Okay, what is it over here that I just don't want to serve? What is it? Then God can help you to address it, uncover it, shed light on it, and give you freedom. Give you freedom to serve, where you're serving freely. And this is very important, vitally important for church growth. Because in order for us to grow together, each part needs to be trustworthy, right? If you look at an automobile, one part in your automobile goes wrong in a drivetrain, the whole thing stops functioning. If you have an electrical problem in your automobile, I was just talking to my neighbor the other day. He says, his car is not running. I hope it's not electrical, because if it's electrical, the whole thing might not run. And those of you with health problems, you know, if you have a problem in one of your systems, circulatory system or breathing or skeletal muscular, that goes wrong, it affects your whole body, doesn't it? And so we need to pay attention to that, because not only is it helpful for God, but it's helpful for the whole church. You have other people as well depending upon you. And so we want to serve by serving faithfully, and then answer that question, how can we serve better? And that's something that only you can answer yourself. You just be honest with yourself. Finally, we excel, this is number four, in serving when God is our focus. When God is our focus. The master said to the servant, the two servants, well done. That's what God wants to say to you. He's not saying it to somebody else. He's saying it to the servant. And when we keep our eye on the master and we stay on task, then we can do a better job and we can please our master. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you're serving. So when I worked in a secular world, I worked in sales. I did that for the Lord. I said, Lord, how do I do this? Help me to do this. Okay, Lord, I'm going to do this for you. When I work in management, I did it for the Lord. I went in, Lord, I have to manage these people. Oh, how do I do that, Lord? I'm going to do it for you. And when you go out and you need to rake up the leaves in your yard, Lord, I'm going to do this for you. And when we serve in the church, same thing. Lord, I'm going to do this for you. So the Lord now is our focus. Now, it's easy to have lesser motives. It is, isn't it? You get kind of used to the task, and what happens is instead of praying before you do things, I know how to do this, then you can develop your task and your to-do list gets longer and longer and longer. Why? Because you're just more capable. And you get so long that you get tired of doing it, and now you want to quit because the task is no longer meaningful anymore. It's meaningless. It's like a rat race. You're just trying to keep up. Or maybe you're doing it to satisfy yourself. There was something good in your own soul that it felt like before, but now it doesn't feel good to you anymore, and so now you want to quit. So here's the question. When we're serving the Lord, we back off from saying, Lord, I'm going to serve as long as it feels good to me. When we're serving the Lord, we're backing off from saying that all of this is merely a task, a to-do list. We're saying, Lord, what is the reason I'm doing this? And what God takes that and makes it wholehearted, allows your servant to be wholehearted. Why? Because it brings meaning into everything you do. Now when you're operating a tech booth back there, you're not just moving switches and clicking buttons. You're honoring Jesus by enabling the sound system and the projection to connect the things that happen up here to all the people. And Jesus is magnified. When we're cleaning up the yard out there, we're not just sweeping. We're asking, what kind of testimony does this property provide for us when people look around? Does it say, wow, that's really attractive. Jesus is guiding us here. Psalm 100, which is a psalm that Tina actually started our service as, says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing, knowing that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We are his. I'd like to ask the band to come forward, and we're just going to conclude our time in a time of committing to the Lord our actions once again. And as I do, I'd like to ask a couple of questions about for you to think about, to reflect upon. If you're not currently serving in something, what is the something you can do? Start somewhere. Do something. What is the something you can do? How can you excel in your abilities? Maybe there's a workshop you can attend. Maybe there's a study you can apply to your life. Maybe there are scriptures you need to remember, or maybe you need to just pray about the activities. Maybe you're really fully equipped, but you haven't been praying about your activities. You can be praying about that. How can we excel in being faithful? Identifying the things that cause us to have roadblocks to faithfulness. Being a person who has had struggled with ADD, I've had to do this quite a bit. So I know this very, very well. That I'm constantly asking us, why, Stan, why are you missing this? It's like a missing link in my head or something. But I ask myself that all the time. And if I can't overcome that, then I'm asking the question, is there someone out there, a resource, who I can partner with, who can help me fill in for the weakness of my own weakness? And finally, how can we focus on God so that we can serve wholeheartedly? So is God nudging you in any direction? I'm not the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying you have to come up with an application, but I'm going to say, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, then follow that up. Say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, we come before you now thanking you for the way that Jesus has described what it means to be faithful and how to excel in your service. Father, we want to do that. And we want to hear, Lord, that well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, and if we hear that, that would be enough. It would make all of our struggles worthwhile. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Stan. Thank you for that challenge. We want to serve the Lord with all our heart, mind,